and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for their mom. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight and die. This God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. See the shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No more leaves, gun, trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCYTV.tv, excuse me. Let me do that one more time. UCY.tv, the best little network on the entire internet. Anyways, it is the 13th of April. 2017, and it's the long weekend. Yahoo! I hope everybody's prepared for the long weekend and looking to have some fun. And that's always good to have a little bit of fun on the long weekend. That's what you want to do. Anyways, I'm going to take a real quick boo at the news. I'm just going to look at the news quick here because it just keeps getting more ridiculous every freaking day. Anyways, the Liberals' pot legalization bill takes different approach than Washington or Colorado, like I care. The pot stock sell-off in wake of release of federal legislation legalizing pot, what to watch for in today's long-awaited bill. So they passed the weed bill, which means that you're still going to end up in the bucket if it ain't their weed. So, you know, if their weed is as bad as the food, or as bad as the water, or as bad as the freaking air coming out of the crap coming out of them airplanes above us, the question has to be then, do you really want to smoke their weed? I know I certainly wouldn't be smoking it, you know. No, I wouldn't want nothing to do with their crap. But it's a government-sanctioned weed with a big heavy-duty tax on top of it. And the cops are getting all excited because they found a new source of revenue. So you're going to be spending tax money to buy your legal weed, and the cops are going to be out there in force. Because what they've created is a monopoly. You buy the weed from them, or we're going to throw you in jail. And if you do buy the weed from us, and we pull you over, and we smell the weed that we legally sell to you, and we determine that you are impaired, well, then you're going to be up for a ticket. That's the way the government operates. Mafioso. Now, I would strongly recommend you grow your own weed. It'll be a lot better weed than the government weed. Like, you should be growing your own food if you have the capacity to do so. That's just the way this thing shakes out. What have we got here? More than 100 peacekeepers. What's this say? Let's see. Peacekeepers, child sex ring, left victims, but no arrest. Well, that's makes sense because the people at the UN are not subject to any laws. That's a given. The UN doesn't pay any tax. If you work for the UN, you don't pay any tax. It's a tax-exempt foundation, and they write the international law, and therefore they are acting as a government because the government's never liable for anything they do. So why would the UN be liable for anything they do? It's the same thing as the police. Try to bring the police to a court. If you touch a cop hits you in the head, and you touch the cop back, he'll charge you for assault. You'll get dragged into court. You'll likely be found guilty of assault. But if a cop goes and beats the living shit out of an old man or a child, they seem to walk free. Why is that? Because they're the force behind the government. So why would the government, who's being protected by the force, want to bother the force? And same damn thing with the United Nations. So it is hardly unexpected that these peacekeepers who are running a sex ring don't get called in. But no arrests are made. Of course not. Look at all the government pedo rings that have been running over the years. Any of them guys get dragged in? Not likely. So you can look at, your government is an extension, it's a corporation, is an extension of the Vatican. The United Nations is the governing body of the world, which is basically run by the Vatican. And you think they're going to go and arrest themselves? Not going to happen. That's why we got to fix this nonsense, and we need to get the United Nations completely out of our lives. Saturn's moon in Calidius holds food, source for potential life. Whoa. The Saturn, the sun god. All that kind of bull crap. Anyway, Saturn apparently. Uh-oh. What's this here story? I'll get back to Saturn later. The government also introduced sweeping changes for impaired driving laws. Justin Minister Jody Wilson-Raybould has introduced major changes to the country's impaired driving laws, including provisions that will allow the mandatory roadside alcohol screening and the new criminal offenses for driving while high. Well, I guess that's your pot. You're high on pot now. So, you got cops hiding out, charging people for being impaired, I guess, or distracted is the charge, for talking on a cell phone. It's all about revenue. It is all about revenue. That is what it's all about. All these statutory laws are not, it's got nothing to do with whatsoever with safety. It has only to do with revenue. Excuse me. Oh, I'm trying to hold back a sneeze right now. Okay, it's gone, I think. I hope. Anyways, let's see. The legislation introduced concurrently with the government's cannabis legislation bill. So the legislation bill came in for government weed, and along with that came with the impaired weed bill. So let's see what happens to you. Will allow police to demand a driver provide an oral fluid sample, saliva, if they suspect the driver is drug impaired. A positive reading could lead to further testing, including a blood test, to determine whether a criminal offense has been committed. Well, this is going to get fun, isn't it? You know, whoopee, weed's legal. What? Well, you look stoned. Oh, I smoked a joint. Why? Well, we need some of your saliva. Yep, looks bad, buddy. Come with us. We're gonna remove some of your blood to determine whether a criminal offense has been committed. Now, again, you haven't harmed anybody. No victim, no crime. But this is legal land, not law land. So they're just setting the people up one more time to bring them down another level. You know, it works good for them because they would like everybody to be as stoned as possible so they don't notice their nation being destroyed right in front of their eyes. But they'll be out there. They got jails to fill. They'll be out there and dragging your sorry ass in for a blood test, maybe a DNA test. Well, they got you there. Maybe they'll vaccinate you while they got you there, too. Three new drug-related offenses. Ooh, three of them. Will also be. This is what kills me. This is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation website. This is their news. We call it the Communist Broadcasting Corporation. But so we're reading about drugs. I need drugs in order to read this. Three new drug-related offenses will also be created for drivers. Now, what kind of half a frickin' sentence is that? Will also be created for drivers who have consumed drugs. So, you know, the one that wrote this has obviously been smoking some government weed because they made a messy sentence. Drivers who have consumed drugs within 2 hours of driving. The driver who is found to have 2 nanograms but less than 5 nanograms of THC per milliliter of blood could face a maximum fine of up to $1,000. THC is the primary psychoactive found in cannabis. A driver who has a blood level of more than 5 nanograms of THC or has been drinking alcohol and smoking pot at the same time will face a fine and the possibility of jail. In more serious cases, a drug-impaired driver, are you ready for this? A drug-impaired driver could face up to 10 years if convicted. The government did not specify which drug testing device it would recommend police use for enforcement, but other jurisdictions use the drug wipe system, which can detect traces of cannabis, opiates, cocaine, amphetamine, methamphetamines, MDMA, ecstasy, and ketamine. New and stronger laws. Impaired driving is the leading cause of criminal death and injury in Canada. Liberal MP Bill Blair, the government's pot legalization czar. Now, you see, the word czar used to come out of Russia. And make no mistakes. Okay, the whole point, and you go back to the 1950 Senate hearings with Warburg, as saying they're going to have a world government. You go to Norman Dodds, who was investigating what the tax-exempt foundations were up to, and the guy from the Ford Foundation said, well, what we're doing is we're Sovietizing America, meaning the West, and that's now we have czars for everything. So let's see, where'd the czar go here? Yes, the pot legalization czar said Thursday, announcing the legislation, in order to further protect Canadians, our government, not your government, our government, because it's our corporation, you stupid ninnies, has committed to creating new and stronger laws to punish more severely those who drive while impaired by cannabis, alcohol, and other drugs. This bill, if it passes, will be one of the strongest impaired driving pieces of legislation in the world. And I'm very proud of that, Wilson Raybould added, because I'm one crazy-ass broad, man. However, by comparison, the European Union has a limit of just 1 nanogram of THC And the United Kingdom has a limit of 2 nanograms. Australia, many U.S., Australia and many U.S. states have zero tolerance, which effectively criminalizes driving with any detectable level of prohibited drugs in one's body. Now, of course, you can be blitzed out of your mind on pharmaceuticals if you got a prescription from the doctor and nobody's going to bother you. Okay, but what are you going to do, right? But these are what they call, so that this is just another, and they're really ramping this one up by the look of it. Some research, including those at the U.S.-based National Institute of Drug Abuse, have suggested there is simply no adequate way to measure THC levels or to determine just how drugged a person is in a roadside test. Those concerns were shared by conservative leadership contender Aaron O'Toole. Public safety officials at all levels of government have outstanding concerns about how to implement marijuana legislation and how to manage the costs associated with it, of great concern. Prime Minister Tinkerbell Justin Trudeau has not addressed the fact that there are no proven reliable tests yet available for determining impairment for marijuana use, he said in a statement. Police officers will also now be able to demand a breathalyzer sample from any driver they lawfully stop. Previously, the test could only be administered if an officer had reasonable suspicion that a driver was impaired by alcohol, but not no more. Not no more. The government is making this change because its research shows many impaired drivers are able to escape detection at check stops. It is also aimed at reducing legal action over whether an officer actually had reasonable suspicion to ask the driver to blow on a device for a blood alcohol content reading. The change is a part of the government's efforts to repeal and replace all transportation-related offenses in the criminal code with a modern, simplified, and coherent structure, according to literature provided by Health Canada. I will, as I do with all justice pieces of legislation, be tabling a charter statement. I am confident of constitutionality of mandatory roadside testing. Ray Bold said, this is not a device or a tool that doesn't exist in other places in the world. In fact, mandatory roadside testing in many countries has significantly reduced the number of deaths on highways. I think it is paramount concern. New laws will also eliminate or restrict common defenses used by drivers facing impaired driving charges in court. Currently, drivers can avoid fines or a criminal conviction by claiming they consumed alcohol just before or during driving, and thus were not over the legal limit at the time they were driving because the alcohol was not yet fully absorbed. They can claim it was only later at the time of testing that they reached the illegal blood alcohol concentration. The government has said in the background document distributed to reporters that it would close that loophole by changing the time frame for blowing over 80 from at the mandatory time of driving to within 2 hours of driving. Over 80 refers to a blood alcohol limit of 80 milligrams of alcohol per 100 milligrams of blood. And it should be 0.80 milligrams, or it is a commonly known 0.08 blood alcohol concentration. The Justice Minister also announced changes to the province's Interlock programs, a system of in-car alcohol breath screening devices that prevent a vehicle from starting if alcohol is detected. Currently, a first-time offender has to wait a year before being admitted to an ignition interlock program in order to be able to drive again. The proposed legislation would reduce the time offenders must wait before they can return to driving. There would be no wait for a first time for a first offense, 3 months for second, and 6 months for subsequent offense. So everybody has been jumping up and down for how many years on the internet and pushing for the legalization of marijuana. Well, I hope you're all freaking happy now. I hope you're just freaking ecstatic, because I've been saying for years that anybody stupid enough to want marijuana legalized is a complete and total idiot. And that bears out in this report. They're going to sideswipe you so bad you ain't going to know what happened. And God forbid you should grow your own weed and they catch you with it because, well, now you're interfering with the tax system. I tell you, people are so stupid, it hurts my feelings sometimes. Really, truly does. Why Pyongyang is using gleaming skyscrapers to show potential of socialist Korea. Now, I said that on the last show because Korea was going to bomb the States or something. But that's not the story. The story, and I looked at this years and years and years ago when I looked at Pyongyang, and I spent some time studying this place, you know, with the lights out for Earth Day or Earth Hour, and they always brought this up. Look how dark Korea is, right? They're not using no electricity. That's what we got. That's what we got to aspire to. And when you look at their streets, I mean, part of this game with the legalization of marijuana and the new laws on the stricter laws on impaired driving, and I don't recommend anybody drive impaired. Don't get me wrong here. I am no fan of impaired drivers. You're going to hurt somebody, hurt yourself, and you know, it's not good for you or whoever you run into. So smarten up. But this here nonsense of Korea with the, you know, Korea's going to bomb America. Really? Not. So what's the story? Now we see the story after a bunch of these dumbass stories about North Korea. Now all of a sudden, North Korea is getting good airplay. Oops. What's that all about? Pyongyang is using gleaming skyscrapers to show the potential of socialist Korea. Now, one thing you noticed about Pyongyang is that there's no traffic on the roads. Where is everybody? Well, part of this legislation that, whether people like to believe it or not, you will believe it down the road, trust me, is that the whole idea of giving you more legal ways to get a ticket is to get you out of your freaking vehicles. What's not sustainable? Private vehicles. Why do you think they're building all these light rail transit systems everywhere? They're going to run you out of your cars. Like the last gas station in downtown Vancouver is gone. Last gas station, gone. Now, I lived there. And this is going to be a pain because we know what's going on. So now what they're going to do, because there's no gas stations in there, and they're making it so there's no parking in there, if you do want to bring a car into Vancouver, and that ain't far down the road, you're going to be paying a massive toll to drive into the core of the city. In other words, you're going to be parking outside the city and getting on the light rail transit system, and there goes your individuality, and there goes your freedom to move yourself around in the manner that you choose, and that's on the way, and that is Pyongyang. The only traffic you see on the roads there is government vehicles, really. And I got to tell you, the place is clean as a whistle. I never seen dirt in that freaking main street at all. It's as clean can be. Well, aren't they sustainable, eh? And I've been saying this for so long. Why is North Korea, they bombed Iraq, they bombed Libya, they bombed Afghanistan, bombed Syria, bombed the shit out of everything. How is it that North Korea nobody bothers with? Now, if you look at their labor system over there, they're renting out their people, the corporations. So these guys are out working, these North Koreans are out working all over the place for major corporations, for basically food and a bed and trinkets. And the government is working as the employment agency, of which the corporations are paying the government for the use of their labor, farming out the animals. Now, what do they want to do here? They want to bring us all into a situation of guaranteed income. Guaranteed income. We got a whole pile of people on the internet pushing that nonsense, just like we have these idiots on there pushing the legalization of weed. We all deserve a guaranteed income. Well, at all, everything comes for the price. Nothing's for free. So don't be surprised if that is based on what's going on in North Korea, shipping out the labor to the benefit of the corporations. If you understand the UN globalist corporate rule that they're setting up, you'll understand what I'm talking about. If you don't, well, you best go figure it out. Anyways, let's find out what's cooking here. What do we got here? This is not what I was going to talk about tonight, but I think I need more time to talk about what I was planning on talking about today. So we'll do that Saturday night on Revolution Radio, or we'll do it on Sunday. Okay, so you got all these dignitaries in that, and they got balloons and flowers and whatnot. They appeared at the far end of empty streets, columns of thousands of people all converging on a freshly paved stretch of road in central Pyongyang. As the crowd met under a huge portrait of North Korean leader, the choreography was perfect, but the people also seemed genuinely enthusiastic about their role in this message to Washington and most of the world. Your threats have not worked, it says. Before the crowd was a road lined with about 30 colorful modern skyscrapers built in record time despite the tough economic sanctions championed by the U.S. and imposed by the United Nations. This Royong Street, the Street of the Rising Sun, a major development project in Pyongyang that was constructed in less than a year. A number of foreign journalists were in North Korea this week, part of the run-up to Saturday's 150th anniversary of the birth of national founder, the country's most important holiday, after being woken up at dawn by the government representative coordinating CBC's visit to Pyongyang. Reporters spent the morning undergoing security checks and waiting for this grand ribbon-cutting ceremony. "We did it," said one man who, like everyone here, wears a portrait of Kim on his lapel. "I'm very proud of the North Korean people and our leader for being strong-willed, for standing up to Washington. Significant great event. The country's enemies have accused Pyongyang of using devious means of circumvent the sanctions that have been in place for more than a decade, mysterious shell companies in China and tricks to fool the global banking system." Well, is there anything else that needs to be tricked worse than the global banking system? Maybe we ought to take a page out of North Korea, at least here in Canada and probably the United States, and tell the global banking system to go shove off. Of course, the sanctions weren't meant to stop the regime in Pyongyang from building the residential towers. Then why put it in the story? They were aimed at preventing North Korea from developing nuclear weapons and missiles and blocking it from carrying out Kim's threat to bomb the United States. This is a country that considers itself a target of American and South Korean plans for imminent invasion, despite assurances to the contrary. And every challenge North Korea faces is seen as an epic battle these days. Truly, the construction of Pyongyang Street, or Ryongyong Street, is a significant great event, said Prime Minister Park in a speech at Thursday's ribbon-cutting ceremony. It shows the potential for socialist Korea, and that is scarier than the explosion of hundreds of nuclear bombs above the enemy's heads. As he said, this. Kim smiled and clapped on the stage. The crowd cheered. Many here see development as the best answer to what they consider reckless moves by U.S. Trump, who has most recently ordered a naval strike group led by an aircraft carrier to take positions in the area. Trump has also refused to rule out a preemptive strike on North Korea. They can maneuver if they want, said Kim, one of those cheering in the crowd today, but we don't mind. We just move forward. North Korea has also been made its own threatening moves. It has continued to build test missiles, and observers say it seems to be making preparations for its sixth underground nuclear explosion, possibly in a matter of days. These tests have been getting progressively stronger, the most recent being 100 times more powerful than the bomb dropped on Hiroshima, Japan during the Second World War. Now these guys know that. North Korea still has work to do to make its nuclear devices small enough to fit into a missile, experts say, but some have also been surprised by the quick progress the country has made so far. Pyongyang believes that only by possessing nuclear weapons would North Korea be safe from the attacks like the one on Syria last week by U.S. Foreign minister sources here, quoted by the state news agency KCNA, said that Washington's intolerable act of aggression proves a million times over that a North Korean weapons program is prudent. North Koreans have paid a price for that. Despite the defiant tone, sanctions have made it much harder to get foreign-made products and parts. Few North Koreans can travel abroad. And Kim has been accused of systematically cracking down on his opponents, including those who blame his single-minded obsession with weapons development for keeping the country bankrupt. Even Pyongyang's traditional ally, China, has been losing patience. Beijing says it has stopped coal imports from North Korea, depriving the country of much-needed income. But for the thousands marveling at Pyongyang's shiny new towers along Ryong Street, relishing the idea of making Washington back down, today's taste of defiance was sweet. So, you know, this is the first, what you would call, first significant step by the media to start to portray Korea as a forward-thinking, forward-moving country. But what they're really doing is they're showing you, and they'll bring more of it out, of what a real socialist country should look like. And the whole idea of the United Nations is to turn the whole place into a socialist regime. And that's a fact. So I'm going to throw this into the chat. And you can see how nice and clean the streets are. And you can see there's no traffic on the damn streets. And, you know, rah, rah, bish, boom, bah, man. This is part of the plan. It most definitely is part of the plan. So enjoy North Korea, very few people have their own vehicles. Most people drive bicycles or small electric motorcycles, whatever. And what are they giving you? E-bikes. You don't need license or insurance. Bicycle paths everywhere. Light rail transit everywhere. Turn your lights off. Don't use energy. So if you look and really understand what North Korea is, North Korea is doing just fine, thank you very much. They are one of the propaganda pieces for the future that they want on this planet. And we gotta beat that back. The people in America should be really up Mr. Trump's behind right now, because he's supposed to be the guy that's a right wing, not a left wing, but he is. I haven't heard him mentioning about not funding some UN stuff, but I haven't heard anything about shutting the place down and removing themselves from it. And until that happens, which I don't think it's going to happen, Mr. Trump has no credibility whatsoever. I mean, you can't get the enemy inside the gate any tighter than what's going on in America. I mean, the UN headquarters is sitting on friggin' American soil, donated by someone who says, I've been accused of being an internationalist, and if that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it. Thankfully, he's dead. But these are the facts, you know. Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, these are all set up to destroy the nation from the inside. So why the American military, they don't have to go overseas to find the enemy. The enemy's on their soil. What the military of the United States has to do is walk in and arrest everybody in the United Nations, walk in the Trilateral Commission, walk into the Foreign Affairs Office, and arrest all those sons of bees. And then we're getting on the right track. But until that happens, Mr. Trump is just another little monkey. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of being run by monkeys. Really, I'm not. And that's got to... where's that first story I had? Okay, here's a nice picture of the police with all the cars lined up. Have you had anything to drink today, sir? Have you had anything to smoke today? Have you had any of... let me read this list of drugs to you. You had any of that today? Well, sorry, we don't need probable cause anymore, son. You just best pull your car over there and come with us. Kind of makes the people in North Korea look like they got it pretty friggin' good. I don't know what it's going to take. We're going to play this out for as long as it takes. Eventually enough people are going to wake up and go, what the hell kind of bad dream have we been running around in? You know, like Carlton or George Carlin said, you know, the American dream. It's the American dream because you got to be asleep to believe it. And that's what's wrong with the people. They're asleep. They are completely and totally snoozeville. And, you know, I walk down the street, you know, and say hi to somebody. You get this blank stare, right? You want to smack them and go, you're sleeping, aren't you? You're sleepwalking. And that's what people are doing. They're sleepwalking. Nobody's involved in anything. They've turned us into nations of watchers. Did you watch the game? No, I was watching my favorite reality TV program. Oh, yeah, what was that about? I missed it because I was watching the game. I was going to watch that, but the game came on, so I didn't watch the game because it's playoffs, you know. We're watchers. We're not doers. You know, we go and we line up for job fairs. Or we put in 4,000 freaking resumes trying to get a job. What the hell is that all about? You know, what is that about? I never filled out a resume in my friggin' life. I refuse to fill out a resume. Could you fill out a resume? I don't think so. You know, point me to the guy that's going to do the hiring. I'll save him a shitload of time. Because he doesn't want to go through all them resumes. And I ain't filling one out. So, go find him. No, we've turned into people. Oh, you can't do that. Want to bet? We got to follow the rules. Well, you just keep on following them damn rules. You know, what really disgusts me more than everything is our governments are filling up with freaking Islamic a-holes and the people go, well, look it, we're getting foreigners in our government. Well, why don't you get up and run for government, you lazy, stupid ass? I mean, we really are a truly pathetic group of people. Truly stupid. Dumbed down to the point that they give you Velcro shoes, for crying out loud. Dumbed down to the point that they don't teach children cursive writing in the schools anymore. It's really, really quite sickening what's become. You know, what happened to our forefathers' blood? What happened to those people that struggled to get away from the tyranny? Excuse me. I'm not impaired in my stone. I just ate supper before I came on the show. I burped. My apologies. What happened to us? You know, it's just absolutely sickening what's become of us. And it's just going to get worse if we don't get our act together. If we don't somehow decide that there's a gun thing. I don't know what this gun thing is about. Our big city guy, downtown gas station's on the way out. Yep. The gas stations in the city centers are on the way out, and the gas stations in the rural areas are on the way out, and they're going to make it more difficult to get into the city center in a vehicle of your own, and they're going to make it very, they're making it very difficult here. I imagine it's the same throughout the West. Small towns that were pretty good in the past, they've shut down the gas stations, the banks, the grocery stores, and they're running the people out into the high density living situations, and she's all coming apart at the seams. Okay, what's the problem with the gun thing? Now this is Canada, right? This is a Communist Broadcasting Corporation that I'm reading off tonight, not the Toronto Star Communist newspaper. But this is quite funny, actually. I haven't read any of it yet, but I'm just looking at the picture here, and this is freaking hilarious. Gun advocate says recent firearm study misleading could influence policies. Researchers behind a study on youth firearm injuries defend mythology, say goal is to shed light on the issue. And here's a picture of a guy holding a gun. It says, it in cases where the firearm type was known, over 78% of injuries cited in the recent studies were from, are you ready for this, pellet, airsoft, and paintball guns. They were also used in 36% of the assaults reported. Now, you see, I'm in Canada, where the gun laws are stupid. I mean, here's a picture of a kid holding a pellet gun, you know, break-action pellet gun, and he's showing me his little tin of pellets, and this is going to be a problem. And this is funny, this story comes up because I was thinking about buying, I got a pretty cool looking replica 357 Magnum six shot BB gun, which is kind of cool, but and it's actually pretty damn accurate. You know, we got these things because they were way on sale, and it's okay. But you know, you got gas cartridges in it, so if you don't have gas cartridges, it ain't much good to you. And a BB gun ain't really that much good to you anyway. So I was thinking about getting a pellet gun, and wanted to get a 22 caliber pellet gun, but they're quite expensive here. I actually saw a 20. I saw a 22 caliber pellet gun here for like upwards of $600 or something. You go, what are you out of your freaking minds? I mean, you can buy them cheaper, but about the cheapest you're going to find a 22 caliber pellet gun here is about a decent one. It'll cost you probably in the range of a half decent one. I'm probably going to cash you on the low end $250. I see them stateside. You can buy them for like $75 or something. The other problem we have here with pellet guns is that up here in communist Canada, I think the max velocity of a pellet gun here, I know it is the maximum velocity of a pellet gun here that's saleable without an actual firearms license, and these are not firearms, are they? Is 490 feet per second, where in the States you can buy a pellet gun, 22 caliber pellet gun, that'll run you up to 1650, right? Which has got some kick behind it. But you can't buy those here. They're not without a, I don't even know that you can buy it without a gun license here. 500 feet per yeah, 500 velocity, 500 feet per second here in Canada is you need a gun license. So you go 490, 495, and that's it. So anyways, they're going to come down hard. It's weird because I've been looking for a 22 caliber pellet gun for a decent price, and I better go get it quick. I haven't read the story yet, but I got a feeling I best go find one fast. Canadian gun advocates are concerned that a recent study that found nearly one child a day is injured by a firearm in Ontario misled the public and could be used down the road as ammunition for stricter gun laws. Now, I love the data, you see, because it's always problem, reaction, solution, and we got to come up with a problem. And the problem is one child, nearly one child. Now, that nearly one child could be what, one in 1,000, one in 10,000, one in 100,000. You can still call it nearly one if you understand their language. Misled the public and could be used down the road as ammunition for stricter guns. In a study published 2 weeks ago in the Canadian Medical Association Journal, researchers found after poring over health records covering a 5-year span that over 450 children and youth were injured following a firearms assault, and another 1,329 were unintentionally injured by a firearm in Ontario. Now, up here it says nearly one a day. One a day. Well, Ontario has about 14 million people in it. And over here, they've got 450 were injured over a 5-year span. This is how stupid people are. They read this stuff and they don't make any connection at all. A recent study found that nearly one child a day is injured by a firearm in Ontario. Well, a pellet gun is not a firearm. It's a pellet gun. Okay? There's no explosion, there's no fire, there's no none. So I don't know what these firearms are talking about are, but a pellet gun is not a firearm. It's a pellet gun. It's an air gun, not a firearm. But anyways, nearly one child a day is injured by a firearm in Ontario. Well, that would mean there would be one child a day. So cut the population in half, so that's 7 million kids, or that age, whatever. Cut it down to 3 million. You're not going to get one a day, and over 5 years, 450 children out of a population of whatever, call it a third. Call it 3.5 million, and over a 5-year span, over 450 children were injured, and following an assault, a firearms assault. It doesn't say anything about an air rifle. It says a firearms assault. And there are 13,329 were unintentionally injured by a firearm in Ontario. Now, a firearm takes in everything, but they're talking about air guns here. But anyways, they're numbers. I mean, how can you do these numbers and put them in a paper, and the paper put them in and go, wait a minute, one a day, and over 5 years, 450 were injured. Out of how many people? Doesn't make any damn sense. However, after several questions were raised online about how the catch-all term firearm was defined in the study, the officers released detailed breakdowns of the firearm types a week later. The previously unreleased showed that in cases where the firearm type was known, over 78% of injuries were from pellet, airsoft, and paintball guns, not rifle, shotguns, and handguns, which are by default regulated under the Canadian Firearms Act. Now, when I was in grade 9, before I moved down to this neck of the woods, but I was up in the Ottawa Valley, and my high school in grade 9 in Renfrew, Ontario, had a gun range in the basement, and we were using old Enfields and that from the Second World War. None of them were locked up. They're all piled in the corner. Just go and grab yourself a gun, grab some ammo, go sit on, go lay on the mattresses and have at her. Put your target up, have at her. Nobody was afraid of a gun. Nobody got hurt when I was there. And as far as the pellet guns and that go, well, hell yeah. Because when I was a youngster, and I'm sure they're still doing it today, when I was a youngster, we'd watch cowboy shows and army shows and that, and then we'd go out and play. And, this bang bang crap, anybody that's from my generation remembers this, bang bang, you're dead. You missed me. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. So you're always trying to solve a problem. That was a huge problem. So what we did was we went and got BB guns and pellet guns, with the idea you don't shoot somebody in the head with it. But it solved a huge problem because there was none of this bang bang, I got you. No, you missed. There was bang, ow. Or no wow, so you shoot again. Now, did I lose any friends from pellet assaults? No. You catch the odd welt. But I don't recall anybody dying of lead poisoning. But this is when kids were kids and kids knew how to set their own rules. Now they gotta be have a frickin' a retarded adult at their side every minute. Anyways, this is going to get nasty here by the look of this. Let me see. This is more shit coming at us. Hagen also questioned the motivation behind the decision by the authors to define children and youth as those 24 years or younger, when more than 80% of the injuries were among those 15 years and older, many of who could be adults. Well, we were younger than that when we were shooting at each other, but kids aren't kids anymore. You can't, we went out to do what we did at very young ages, and now, well, you got to be a whole hell of a lot older to do what we were doing when we were a hell of a lot younger than 15 years old. He was also critical of the timing of release of a position statement on firearms by the Canadian Pediatric Society that recommended notable higher restrictions on semi-automatic and air guns on the same day. The study's authors reject the notion that the manner in which the results were presented was misleading. Of course they're misleading. They're always misleading. GMOs are good for you. See the data, see the statements, see the expert shit. She says the objective of the study was to shed light on the risks of being exposed to firearms or similar devices for both immigrant and non-immigrant children in the country. What the hell's that got to do? I thought kids were kids. The messaging from our paper wasn't okay. Now we have to restrict all firearms and be tighter around this, but I think we have to start looking at ways we can prevent these injuries, she said. One person may have a traditional thought or definition of a firearm being a handgun or a rifle, but the actual definition used when it comes to statistical reporting on firearms and the Criminal Code of Canada, those firearms include things like BB guns, said Saunders. And that's the other problem. They're definitions. You know, if you look at how they define things through the UN and all the rest of these bodies that work for them, the definitions are absolutely ludicrous. Are BB guns firearms in Canada? In Canada, most pellet and airsoft paintball guns are not legally considered firearms. Exactly. Only those guns capable of shooting a projectile faster than 500 feet per second and producing muzzle energy greater than 5.7 joules are regulated under the Firearms Act. Higher powered air guns currently require the same licensing and storage practices as traditional. As a comparison, the Lee Enfield, one of the most common hunting rifles, produces muscle velocities over 25 feet per second and can produce over 3,000 joules of energy. Under the Criminal Code, the classification status of a pellet air gun is fluid as it can change depending on the content in which it was used. Any low fluid velocity air gun or replica not generally classified as a firearm under the Firearms Act can become a firearm in the legal sense under the Criminal Code if it's used in the commission of a crime, is used carelessly, or if the design is such that it is indiscernible from a real firearm. And that would be my 357 Magnum replica BB gun. It says right in the package, don't take this thing downtown with you, because they're likely going to shoot your ass off. Because in the old days, I could walk down the main street of my town when I was... Well, I was 14 when we moved, so we could walk down the street with a firearm, 22, whatever, when we were like 12, 13 years old, and nobody batted a freaking eye. So welcome to North Korea, I guess. And I'll stuff this one in here so my American friends can read this thing. And see how much fun it is to live in Canada. But we're out of time. Somebody start calling Trump's office, write that SOB, make some noise about it, and tell him that if he wants to be taken seriously, you don't just not fund some programs for the United Nations. What you do is you tell the United Nations to hit the freaking road, because we need it for housing, for veterans, and those who are homeless. And I just want to wish everybody a really good long weekend. Enjoy it, have fun, and don't buy any of that, people. It's true.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people, exit live, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they master parade, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives.
You are listening to UCY.TV. Why don't you stick around for more awesome radio?